Moving along, we're going to talk about closing on objections. Now, the basic rule of objections is that there are no sales without objections. That objections indicate interest, that objections are signposts that lead you on the way to closing the sale, but if you don't get objections, you're not going to get sales. There's two ways to respond to objections. The very best way is this, is take every objection and interpret it as a question. In other words, it's not a reason for not buying. It is a question requesting more information. If a person says, I can't afford it, turn it around and make it a question that says, please show me how I can afford this, or please show me that it is worth what you're asking for it so that I cannot afford not to take it. If a person says, I have to talk it over with someone else, what the person is saying is, please give me enough reasons so that I can go ahead and buy it without having to check and get somebody else's opinion. Whatever the objection is, throw out any objection that you can think of that you get with your product or service. An objection is not to be feared. An objection is to be welcomed, because as I say, objections are the stepping stones to sales success, or the rungs on the ladder to sales success. In your business, and in my business, and in every business, we have what is called the Law of Six. And the Law of Six simply says that there are basically six objections to buying your product or service. Now, I don't know what your six are. I know what my six are. And I know what the six have been in any other product or service that I've sold. But every one of us has maybe hundreds of reasons or objections, but we only have basically six. And it is very important that we sit down and identify what are the six objections. It may be less. For some, it's only one. For some, it's two. You know, for instance, diamonds. The only reason people don't buy diamonds is because they're too expensive. It's not because they're not beautiful. It's not because they're not valuable. They don't buy them because they're too expensive. So it may only be one reason, but basically there's never more than six. And in order for us to sell effectively, we have to sit down and we have to think through what are our six objections. What are the six major objections to buying your product or service, and what is a logical answer to each of them? So that when the objection or a variation on the objection comes up, you deal with the objection and you're prepared. You don't wait till you get into a sales situation and try to make up some answer, which is what most people do, and throw it back out. Keys to handling objections. Determine whether or not it is a condition. Does everybody know what a condition is? A condition is a reason why the person cannot go ahead. You cannot sell running shoes to a person who just lost their legs in an accident. That's a very strong condition. You cannot sell business equipment to a person who has just gone bankrupt. You cannot sell clothing to a person who's just gone into receivership and has no money. In other words, a condition is a specific reason why the person absolutely cannot go ahead. Many people, when they voice an objection, think it's a condition. Your job is to find out whether or not it is a condition. A person says, I can't afford it. What does that mean? Does that mean that they don't have enough to buy it for cash this minute? Or that they don't have enough to make a minimum down payment? What does it mean? And when you say, well, how do you mean that exactly? When you say you can't afford it, what if we space the payments over 24 months? What if you could get it with 10% down? In other words, is it a real condition? Does the person have zero money and zero income? For instance, if a person is unemployed, there's no point in trying to sell them something that's going to be financed over 12 or 24 months because they can't get approval for the credit. Number two is hear the objection out. Hear it out completely. That's very, very important. And listen to it patiently. Don't interrupt, even though you've heard it 1,000 times. Listen to it, as we said, pause before replying, and then answer it carefully and reflectively. Number three is ask for elaboration. Rather than leaping in and assuming that you know what the objection is, say, how do you mean that exactly? Or even better, say, well, as I understand it, and then repeat the objection back to him in the form of a question. As I understand it, what you're asking is this. And then go ahead and state it as a question, and the person says, yes, that's what I'm asking, and then answer the question. Easier to answer a question than an objection. Another thing with regard to objections is compliment the person on the objection. I found all my life when a person says, well, geez, I can't take it for this reason or that, you say, Mr. Prospect, that's a very good question, and I'm glad you brought that up. Or that's a very important question, and we have to deal with that in a straightforward fashion. People like to be complimented on their objections. And if you treat their objections as important and as valid, just like when we have a concern, when we're upset about something, we don't want somebody to dismiss it and give us a glib answer. When we're upset about something, when we're concerned about something, and we express this to someone else, we want them to think about it and be concerned, if you like, and carefully consider what our situation is. Number five, use this feel, felt, found method. What this does is that it expresses empathy, it acknowledges validity, and it answers the objection. I don't think we can afford something that expensive. Mr. Prospect, I understand exactly how you feel. Many of our happiest clients, or many of our clients, or many other people felt the same way. But this is what they found, that once they had it installed and started using it, the savings were far greater than they had expected, and the cost was far less. Well, I don't think it'll get the mileage that you say it will. Well, Mr. Prospect, I understand how you feel. There's a lot of funny claims around about mileage. And others felt the same way because it sounds pretty exorbitant. But this is what they found, that the mileage that they got was actually in excess of the mileage that we advertise, or whatever it happens to be. Well, I don't believe you service it as fast as you say you will. Everybody offers great service, then there's no follow-up. Mr. Prospect, I understand how you feel. And others felt the same way because it's a major concern. In other words, acknowledging validity. But this is what they found. They found that if they called us anytime up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it got repaired within 2 hours. And if it wasn't repaired within 2 hours, we had somebody there the next day. And so on. And here's people that you can call and ask if you really want to know how we do it. But it's an easy way to answer almost any objection. Provide evidence or proof. Use letters, if you like. Use any kind of letters that you can to prove that what you say is true. Be agreeable. Never argue with a person. Never tell them that they're wrong. Confirm the answer's acceptance. Does that answer your question? Is that satisfactory? Or does that make sense to you so far? Asking a person, does that make sense to you so far? Or did I explain myself clearly? Is a very, very good way of answering an objection. Remember, you're there to make a friend and to convince them that you're acting in his best interest. So be calm, be modest, be polite. And know your product inside and out. We say this over and over again. Here's some of the objections that we have. 9 common objections and how to deal with them. Number 1, unspoken objections. Let the customer talk more. When the customer isn't speaking, just sitting there listening to you or not paying attention, let them talk more. Remember, a person has to pay complete attention to you when they're talking to you or answering questions. Encourage expression. Focus on the customer's situation. Excuses. Sometimes people have excuses. Well, we're really busy right now, or I don't think we have enough time, or we're buying from somewhere else. These are just excuses. You say, well, that's a good point. Now, can I come back to that later? Or why should we change to you? That's just an excuse investment. Well, that's a very good point, and I think I can give you some reasons about that later. And just go on. Malicious objections. I hear your company's going bust anyway. Why should I buy from you? You say, well, Mr. Prospect, that's, I don't know where you heard that, but it's obviously not true. Just go on, or even just ignore it. Requests for information. Well, how does that work? Whenever a person requests information, welcome the objection, compliment them on it, thank them for it, and answer it completely. When people take show-off objections, they try to show you how much they know about your product or service. Oh, yes, well, what about the carbidingulator on the metrificator of the bifocal valve? And you say, geez, you know a lot about this. Always be impressed by how knowledgeable people are on your subject. Don't try to say, well, yes, but I know more than that. Take the low road. Be conciliatory. Be polite. If people can be made to feel important in a sales situation, they're much more likely to buy from us. Subjective objections. Sometimes people say, well, you look like you're doing pretty well. In other words, a subjective objection is aimed at you. Well, you've got a pretty sweet job, or you probably work pretty good hours. Whenever a person becomes subjective, it means that you're talking too much about yourself. You're talking too much about your company. You're talking too much about your life and not enough about the customer. Objective objections. I don't think it'll do the job that we require. Good question, and prove and show through testimonials and other proof that it will. General sales resistance. It always occurs at the beginning of a presentation. Very important, and that's why we use the approach close. Mr. Prospect, I appreciate you giving me your time. I'm not going to try to sell you anything right now. I'd just like to show you some reasons why so many other people have bought this product, and let you judge for yourself. Okay? Okay, and then begin your presentation. And finally, the last-ditch objection. Sometimes people will say, well, how do I know I'm getting my money's worth? Or are you sure this is the best deal I can get? You say, Mr. Prospect, it's absolutely the best. Now, would you like to take delivery this week or next? Would you like the blue model or the green model? Would you like it delivered here? Would you like it delivered to your home? And you just go on to wrap up the sale. Remember, there's always a last-ditch objection. There's always an objection that people throw up. It's almost called a smokescreen objection. It's sort of the last gasp objection. And don't take it too seriously. Sometimes you just smile and look them right in the eye and say, what mailing address should we put on this order? And start filling out the order. And they'll just tell you. The remaining objections close is called the just suppose close. The just suppose close is very powerful. It has two forms. And the form that I suggest that you use actually used both. But one is the extended form, which we'll just talk about. The person is trying to make up their mind. You've made a good presentation. They obviously want it. They need it. They're interested in it. And they're saying, geez, I don't know if I should or not. And you say, Mr. Prospect, there seems to be some question in your mind that's causing you to hesitate about going ahead right now. Do you mind if I ask what it is? Is it the money? You string those two questions together. Do you mind if I ask what it is? Is it the money? Then the person has to say, yes, it's the price, or no, it's something else. Then you say, well, Mr. Prospect, that's a very important point, whatever it is. And in addition to that, is there any other reason that's causing you to hesitate about going ahead right now? Remember what we said earlier, that there's a key issue or a key objection. It's the real reason why the person has not bought it up to now. And you have to find it. And the person is always going to be very reluctant to give it to you, because as soon as they give it to you and you demolish it, as I'm sure you will, they're out of objections and they have to go ahead with it. So sometimes they'll hold it inside. They don't want to tell you what it is. You say, well, and in addition to that, and in addition to that, you keep asking until they say, no, that's the last reason. The last reason they give you in answer to the question, and in addition to that, is the real objection. I'm just not sure about the service yet, or I'm not sure that it will do the job that you say it will do, or whatever it happens to be. You say, Mr. Prospect, that's an important question, and I'm sure we have to answer that to your complete satisfaction. Tell me, what would it take to satisfy you on that question? What would it take to satisfy you? What would we have to do to put your mind at ease on that question? Almost invariably, the person will say, well, if you could just do this, or if I could just talk to someone else who's had the same situation or whatever, and you'll say, fine, but they give you the closing condition. You say, all right, what would it take to satisfy you? And then you go ahead, satisfy them on the closing condition, and they go ahead with the deal. The abbreviated form of the just suppose close is this. A person says, well, I don't know if we can get it into this budget period. Mr. Prospect, just suppose that that's not a problem. Is there any other reason that you would cause you to hesitate about going ahead right now? And they have to say, well, no, that's the only reason, or there is another reason. Whenever you say, well, just suppose that's no problem. Just suppose we could deal with that to your satisfaction. Just suppose we could demonstrate that to you conclusively. Just suppose we could get the price down by another $100. Just suppose I could get approval for this request. Is there any other reason right now that's causing you to hesitate about going ahead? You'll find that if they say yes, or they agree to your just suppose close, what they've said is, this is not a reason for not going ahead. If you say, just suppose we could deal with that, is there any other reason? Then they've agreed that that's really not a reason for not going ahead, and you gets you down to the real reason, if you like. Right, the sharp angle close, porcupine close. This is used to turn an objection into a reason for buying and is very effective when the customer has almost run out of reasons for resistance. The person says, I can't afford the monthly payments. Would you take it if we could spread the payments and get them down? Or your product won't perform to my specifications. If we can show you that it does, will you take it? In other words, you use the objection as a reason for buying. You close on the objection. Inexperienced salespeople always make the mistake of saying, okay, don't worry about that, I'll prove it to you. And then they go out and they get evidence to overcome the objection, and the person has another objection. Then they go out and get evidence to overcome the other objection, and the person has another one. So when they say, well, I don't know if we could afford the monthly payments, if we could spread the payments and get them down, would you take it right now? So they have to say, yes, they would, or give you the real reason why they're objecting to going ahead. It costs too much. If we can get you pretty much the same thing for less, will you take it? Person has to say, well, if I can get pretty much the same, yes, I will. Or they have to say, I don't know if I want it, or I don't know if it'll do the job, and so on. The instant reverse close. Now, this is a very, very good close. And you can use it, and it's a lot of fun. You can use it on your children. You can use it on your spouses. You can use it on your clients, your customers, your prospects. I just spoke to a friend of mine who said he earned an additional $50,000 in the last 6 months using this close after learning it from me. It's very simple. Somebody says, any objection at all, especially a standard stock objection, we can't afford it. Say, Mr. Prospect, that's exactly why you should take it. What? And then you think of an answer, a logical answer, to fill up the silence. For a person says, well, it's too expensive, we can't afford it. You say, Mr. Prospect, that's exactly why you should take it. What? Say, Mr. Prospect, you want to get this for the lowest possible price, don't you? Yes. And you want to get the very best quality, don't you? Yes. And you're probably going to buy one of these someday, aren't you? Well, yes, probably someday. You say, Mr. Prospect, that's exactly why you should take it today at this price. Because you'll never get a better combination of product, quality, delivery, and price than right now. When would you like to take delivery? I was working with a cable TV company that was selling pay TV, and they went out and tripled their sales using this close. They would knock on the door, they'd say, are you interested in pay television? The person would say, no, I can't afford it. That's exactly why you should take it, Mr. Prospect, before the door would close. They'd go, what? Come back out to the door? Because the reason they haven't taken it up to now is because they're convinced they couldn't afford it. You say, Mr. Prospect, let me ask you a question. Are you ever going to have pay TV, movies, sports, theater, arts, children's programs, and so on in your home? Well, yeah, someday I will. And that's exactly why you should take it today, Mr. Prospect. Because of this special promotion, you can get it cheaper today than at any other time. No hookup fee, no connection fee, and you won't have to start paying until the first of next month. That's exactly why you should take it today. Sometimes you can use this instant reverse close for a person you call up and you say, I'd like to talk to you about such and such, or you ask a question about your product or service. The person says, I'm not interested. You say, Mr. Prospect, I didn't think you'd be interested. That's exactly why I'm calling you. Say, what? Say, Mr. Prospect, almost everybody who is now using our product was initially not interested when we contacted them. And those people turned out to be the most satisfied with what our product or service does to you. And I'd like to get together with you for about 10 minutes to show you what we can do for you. When would be convenient? Sometime today or perhaps tomorrow morning. And just go straight into closing on the appointment. But very often, whenever you get hit by a question, a friend of mine used to do this when he was offering a seminar on wealth creation, and somebody in the audience would say, well, I'd like to attend it, but I can't afford it. He'd say, that's exactly why you should attend, sir. I said, what? He said, well, how long have you been working, sir? How do you mean? How long has it been since you left high school? He said, about 10 years. He said, this seminar costs $395, and you're telling me you've been out of school and you've been working for 10 years and you still can't afford $395. That's exactly why you should beg, borrow, or steal to come to this seminar to learn how to improve your financial condition so you never have to say that in a public audience again. Good close. It's a good close. It was worth $50,000 to him. He had people lining up on the basis of that. Remember, you don't have to have a great answer. The whole purpose of saying that's exactly why you should take it is to break preoccupation. Get the person to turn around and completely say, wait a minute, and think about what you're saying. The change places close is a very good close, too. Especially if the person won't give you an answer, you've established a friendly rapport, and you finally say, look, Mr. Prospect, would you put yourself in my situation just for a moment? And imagine that you're talking to somebody that you really respect, and you've presented to them an excellent product or service, and they won't make a commitment one way or another, and they won't give you a reason why not. What would you do if you were in my shoes? Very often the person will say, well, I understand what you're saying. This is my concern. And they'll come out and they'll tell you the reason why they're sitting there or why they're pausing or why they're hesitating. And if they don't give you the answer, then you say, we're really talking about the money, aren't we? And then they'll have to say, yes, it's the money, which in most cases you can be pretty sure that people are concerned about the money. Or they'll have to say, no, it's not the money, it's this, and it gives you a chance to continue selling. In any case, you have to keep asking questions against objections, and you have to keep getting objections out in order to get the hidden reasons that lie behind buyer resistance.